Those days, I thought the day before I wanted to join the new church for spending all the rest of our days at home. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, today is from the 46th chapter of the 10th canto, entitled Uddhava Visits Vrindavan, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim
Sarasvatim Vyasam. Sutojayam Utirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasa Devi, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Text number 6. Dharayantyati Kritstrena. Dharayantyati Kritstrena. Praya pranam katanchanam.
Praya pranam
katanchana. Pratyagamana sandeshar. Pratyagamana sandeshar. Balavyo me mat atmikaha. Balavo me madatmika. Dharayantyati kritstrena. Praya pranam katanchana. Pratyagamana sandeshar. Balavyo me madatmika. Dharayantyati Kritstrena. Balavo Nimanatmika Darayanti They hold on.
They hold on.
Atikritshena.
With great difficulty.
Praya.
Barely.
Pranam.
To their lives.
Katanchana.
Somehow or
somehow.
Pratyagama.
Of return.
Sandesha.
By the promises.
Balavya.
The cowherd women.
May.
Matatmika.
For
fully dedicated to me.
Translation
and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Simply because I have promised to return to them, my fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggle to maintain their lives somehow or other. Let's repeat. Simply because I have promised to... We can do it together. Simply because I have promised to return to them, my fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggle to maintain their lives somehow or other. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, although the gopis of Vrindavan were apparently married, their husbands actually had no contact whatsoever with their supremely attractive qualities of form, taste, fragrance, sound, touch, and so on. Rather, their husbands merely presumed these are our wives. In other words, by Lord Krishna's spiritual potencies, the gopis existed entirely for his pleasure, and Krishna loved them in the mood of a paramour. In fact, the gopis were manifestations of Krishna's internal nature, his supreme pleasure potency. And on the spiritual platform, they attracted the Lord by their pure love. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, Lord Krishna's parents in Vrindavan, had also attained a most exalted state of love for Krishna, and they too could barely maintain their lives in his absence. Thus, Uddhava would also give special attention to them. Omagina timidandasya, jinanjana salakaya, chaksu udmitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master has forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I am eternally indebted to him. Hare Krishna. So we're in very elevated topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. And of all the elevated topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, this topic of Vipralamba Bhav, love in separation, is not an easy one to understand. The tendency for the conditioned soul is to relate to it on the platform that we're at, what we experience. And because it's completely opposite of that, it takes careful study to understand. It takes careful study and thoughtful deliberation and attentive hearing from the pure devotee. So I was going to, just since we're on text number 6, just to put it in focus, because not all of us attend class every day, just to put it in focus, the previous 6 verses, so we can see where Krishna's at. He's speaking to Uddhava. So in text 1, we're just going to just read the verses. Sukadeva Goswami said, the supremely intelligent Uddhava was the best counselor of the Vrishni dynasty, a beloved friend of Lord Sri Krishna, and a direct disciple of Brihaspati. The supreme Lord Hari, who relieves the distress of all who surrender to him, once took the hand of his fully devoted dearmost friend Uddhava and addressed him as follows. Lord Krishna said, dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraj and give pleasure to our parents, and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life as well as religious duties in the necessary for such happiness in the next life. I alone am their dearmost beloved and indeed their very self. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances. My dear Uddhava, for those women of Gokula, I am the most cherished object of love. Thus, when they remember me, who am so far away, they are overwhelmed by anxiety of separation. And today's verse, simply because I have promised to return to them, my fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggle to maintain their lives somehow or other. So when I read the verses sequentially, what came to mind, with the help of some devotees also, was how the Lord is so grateful to whatever service is rendered to him. So I thought I would try to focus in on that today, that quality of Krishna. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada's translated Nectar Devotion, he's Srila Rupa Goswami has listed the 64 qualities of Krishna. So out of those 64 qualities of Krishna, the 17th quality is grateful, kritagya, kritagya. But as I was going through the list of the qualities of Krishna, it struck me that because what Krishna is doing here in pacifying, in sending Uddhava to pacify the gopis who are burning in separation from him, they're burning from him, and he's performing many things simultaneously, which has been mentioned in previous classes. So he's exhibiting many qualities. Obviously, he's not just exhibiting his quality of compassion or gratitude, but he's also exhibiting his quality of extremely clever and being expert. So extremely clever, that's chatura. Chatura means, and the definition that Srila Rupa Goswami gives is that a clever person is one who brings about a solution to many problems simultaneously. So Krishna's very clever. We've probably noticed that in our lives. How he's cleverly arranging so many things for us. And there's unlimited living entities just manifested here on this planet. And this is just one small drop of the planets in the universe. This is one small universe. There's unlimited universes. There's unlimited numbers of living entities in all of those universes, and somehow the Lord, by his divine arrangement, that's his plan, because all the living entities are his part and parcels. He's situated in the heart of every living entity that ever existed. I mean, that actually, whoever existed is still existing now, there's maybe in different forms. He's situated in the heart, and he's the overseer and the permitter in the heart. Anumanta, Upadrasta Anumanta, he's overseer and permitter in the heart of every living entity. And as soon as that small, insignificant little living entity, if they're in the material world, if they're conditioned, if they have separated themselves from their eternal position of being in the spiritual world, that's how, anyway, he's still in their hearts or before them. As soon as that living entity turns towards the Lord, even in a slight way, Krishna's providing facility for that remembrance to increase, for that opportunity to increase for that living entity. And he remembers the service rendered by every living entity in any lifetime that they've rendered service. There's so many examples of that in the Bhagavatam. We'll get to that in a minute. So another quality that Krishna is exhibiting here is daksha, expert. He's expert. And it's very similar definition to clever, but there's a slight difference. Daksha means an expert is a person who does very quickly what is difficult to do. So finding a solution for the gopis in Vrindavan who are suffering in separation. He's also expertly trying to arrange that Uddhava gets higher and higher information, higher ability. He gets to perceive, he gets to see the gopis' love for Krishna, which is nothing that he's like anything he's experienced before. It's explained that Uddhava is the highest devotee, one of Krishna's greatest devotees outside of Vrindavan, but he had yet to experience the rasa that's there of the gopis' love for Krishna, or even to see. I have all these disciples following me today, flies, or like, they're not, sorry. They're actually gnats. Okay, all right, even lower. Even the love and the intensity of love of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj for Krishna is like nothing that he's ever experienced before. So Krishna, he's expert, he's clever, he's arranging for Uddhava to learn and see that. He's also making arrangements for the gopis in so many ways that are not visible. They're not immediately visible. The arrangements that he's making are not immediately visible to the eye. You have to go deeper to see those arrangements. So, and because we spoke about the quality of gratitude, kritajna. He's grateful for whatever service anyone's ever rendered to him in any lifetime. And the example that's given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Krishna, even of Jambavan, so Jambavan was participating in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. And even though in the pastimes of when Krishna was manifested there in Vrindavan as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jambavan appeared to have offended Krishna by fighting with him when he first entered the cave in search of the Shamantaka jewel. Jambavan saw that he mistook Krishna for an enemy, someone who was coming to harm him, and he fought with him for who remembers how many days? 28 days. 28 days without stopping. And in the end, finally, when Jambavan realized, even though I'm the strongest person on the earth, I still can't defeat Krishna, so he must be that same worshipable Lord from my previous life, because who can defeat me? So Krishna, he knew what was going on. He was remembering Jambavan's service from previous lives, and therefore he didn't take offense, and he gave him all respect, even to the point of marrying his lovely daughter, Jambavati. So there's other examples of Krishna remembering service from other lives in the Nrisinga pastime. When Lord Nrisingadev sits on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, he's remembering that in this lifetime, this person is acting demoniacally, but actually this is my dear servant. And therefore, he was very pleased to sit on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, because he was seeing that my servant is now providing this throne. Therefore, let me accept this service. So a point to be taken is that whatever little service the living entity renders to the Lord is remembered by him, as he explains in Bhagavad Gita. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and a little endeavor saves one. It gives one the greatest opportunity. What's that opportunity? To make more advancement. So he's remembering that, because his memory never fails. Not like our memory, which is can't remember anything, and we can't remember activities from our past life or anything. But he's remembering all of those things, and he's encouraging because of that. It's actually very encouraging. And he's promising to his devotees. He's giving so many promises because of his grateful attitude to the devotee. He's giving so many promises of his protection all throughout the scriptures. So so we can focus in on those promises of Krishna and take shelter, take encouragement when things don't look so bright in our future, or things don't, when the troubles are there. Krishna's given so many promises, just like he says in the 6th chapter, 47th verse. He talks about who's the best of the yogis? Yoginam api sarvesham madgatend antaratmana shradavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, one who with great faith always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental service to me, is most intimately united with me and yoga, and is the highest of all. He's acknowledging that, and he's promising that there's a link established between him and the aspiring devotee that's never broken under any circumstance. Even if it's temporarily broken by the conditioned soul, he keeps that link of connection with him and brings the conditioned soul always back to him, to ultimately to higher and higher levels. So in the 31st verse of the 9th chapter, Krishna says, when he's talking about the fallen yogi, if he by chance is separated or appears to act in sinful ways, he very quickly, name bhakta pranachati, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So there's another promise of Krishna that again should give us great encouragement in our journey to back to Godhead. But then Krishna doesn't leave it at that either. He continues to promise and encourage his devotees, giving more, even higher levels of promises, more encouragement to his devotees. 9:34, he's saying, Man mana bhava mad bhakto, just think of me, worship me, become my devotee. And what would be the result of that? Surely you will come to me. So we shouldn't think that, okay, now here's where... So we shouldn't think, okay, these in relationship to today, to the gopis, we shouldn't think that, okay, these devotees, these gopis, they've given everything to him. They've surrendered their whole lives. They've given up all their conception of family identity, which is very, very strong. They're giving up all their conception of relationship, even to their children. Although they're doing their duty, what are they doing? They're always fixing their mind on Krishna. And therefore, and this is where the higher and higher levels come in, therefore Krishna's always with them. He's never separated from them, ever. Not ever. So, again, this is where we should take great encouragement. And although these pastimes and activities of the Lord are difficult to understand, thankfully they have many devotees here that are quite advanced in their understanding of the deeper levels of Ras. And I'm not included in that list, so Hare Krishna. So I'm going to stop there. If you want to have discussion or comment or correction, please go ahead. Janmasthami Prabhu?
There's a statement that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain that?
Sure, it's a real easy one. No, he doesn't take one step out of Vrindavan. How is that? That's seminars for you to give on. Because it explains that when Krishna comes, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, when he comes in his full opulence, full features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the different other manifestations of Godhead are present within him, and therefore anything that is done outside of Vrindavan isn't done by Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, it's done by other forms of Krishna. That's, you know, I'm going to get lost in 2 seconds if I start to explain that. Would you like to explain it? Because I know you can.
Yes, I have the same question today.
That's okay, because he's deeply thinking about it.
So if Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, then what's the explanation of the Vipralamba Bhav that the gopis are experiencing?
They're just thinking it. They're just thinking that they're separate. They're just, see, that's the thing. When we talk about these activities superficially, which I am doing, I'm not saying you're doing, it's very difficult to put the pieces together. But it's not a superficial thing. Krishna's never there. Just like there was one example from Gopal Champu or when Krishna was away in Avanti, when he was studying with Sandipani Muni, and he had a dream of the gopis that night, he said to Balaram, "Alas, my vow of brahmachari has been broken," because by his thinking it was happening, you know? So it's not, So by his, he's there with the gopis, and they're experiencing the highest mood of separation, and it's not something that I deeply understand.
They're meditating
on Krishna. They're not meditating on Vasudeva.
But he's the one that's out of Vrindavan.
He's only out of Vrindavan to you and me. He's not out of Vrindavan. He's there in Vrindavan.
Oh, Krishna, but Vasudeva Krishna, he's in Mathura.
Hey, it's something to ask Prabhu over here. He'll answer. Hari Parayana, Prabhu?
I don't know the answer. I'm just going to quote Nagaraj Prabhu. I asked.
That's good, thank you.
Forgive me, Nagaraj Prabhu, if you're listening.
He is listening.
Hopefully I'm quoting you correctly. So I asked him about what Krishna is doing in Vrindavan when Krishna is not in Vrindavan. And his answer was that he's enjoying himself with the gopis in aprakat lila.
Aprakat.
That means, you know, what that which we cannot see nor understand. That's how I took it. So it's not like they're separated, but yes, they're also separated.
It's also, thank you for saying that. It's also like when the cowherd boys were stolen by Lord Brahma, and they were being hidden wherever he was hiding them. The Acharyas explains that they were still present in Vrindavan, but no one could see them. No one happened to go there. I remember Burijan Prabhu's, you know, 10th canto Bhagavatam explanations. He was talking about that. They were present in Vrindavan, but no one could see them. So, you know, Hare Krishna. So he's enjoying with the cowherd boys. He's enjoying separation from the cowherd boys. He's manifesting himself as the cowherd boys again. And he knows what's going on. What would you like to add, O great sage? You, my dear Prabhu. Okay. Trivikram's going to explain everything.
I wasn't thinking about that part. I was thinking about the gopis, dear. Many categories of gopis.
Could you say that again? They're what?
There are many categories of gopis.
Yes, many categories.
You have married, you have unmarried, then you had young, you had old, you have some in different groups. So there were so many different types of gopis there. Yeah, because in the purport they were speaking about the married gopis and how they're not interacting with their husband and stuff like that. Yeah.
Thanks. Jai, Ekadasi Vrachi.
My question is kind of related to that, actually. You said in the beginning that how it's hard for us to understand these things because they're the opposite of the way that we're accustomed to seeing things. And so I wondered, you know, in that vein, and understanding that in the spiritual world, everyone is happy and satisfied, So how is it that the gopas who are married to the gopis, how are they happy if their wives, from a mundane perspective, are in love with someone else?
Because they don't know. It's explained that they're totally happy. These are our wives. They're totally happy. Actually, Yoga Maya has in Gopal Temple, when Krishna comes back to Vrindavan, and they arrange for him to marry all the gopis. Yoga Maya says, "No, this is a good time. You should arrange to marry all these girls." I said, How can we do that if they're already married?" So somehow or other, she's explaining that there's two sets of gopis. One stays that the gopis stay home with their husbands every night, one set, and the other set of gopis goes off with Krishna. And the one set is home, and the husband is very happy. My wife is here, just doing these things. So this is, I guess we could even say, this is how Krishna is very expert. This is how Krishna is very clever, because he's doing many things that are very difficult to do simultaneously. So it's beyond our ability to conceive of it. And it's Krishna's doing things like that in a second. So that's why this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is number 10. You know, the previous 9 cantos have been slowly giving us information as to the potency, the omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he can do so many things. We can't even explain how he's creating the world with the universes coming out as pores and this and that, how that's going on. So that creation, the process of creation, bewilders our mind. What to speak of the Lord's personal activities and relations with his gopis? Now, things that, for myself, they're just little dots of information that come together. But this is what Krishna is exhibiting here, is one of the things that he's exhibiting is here, is how he is, explains in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, how he's Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the reservoir of all pleasures, of rasas and relationships. We have one or two relationships, and there's always such friction and this and that. Krishna has relationships to the highest degree of with his parents, with his friends, with servants, with lovers. He has all of those relations, and he relishes them all to the highest degree. He's not satisfied with just boring, mundane things. He brings everything to the highest level of emotional feelings in every relationship. So, in that sense, we definitely, and it's been said many times, that's why we need the information of the previous cantos to understand as we read these things, even though for myself they're way beyond my understanding of even trying to explain them. But still, at least there's some information there in the previous cantos given how he's not a person like you or me. He's not limited like we are. We measure things from what? Our perspective. Well, I can do this, I can feel this, I can do that, and therefore the other person can feel maybe a little, like the frog in the well. Is he a little bit bigger? Is he a little bit more potent? Is he a little bit, no, he's unlimitedly more potent. So, Dhammaraj Prabhu?
Can I add something to that?
Certainly, that's why you're having the microphone in your hand, and we're glad you're here.
In the past times, with the what we just the brahmanas and their wives, some of our acharyas described that
in devotional service because of the potency of devotional service and the purity, then everyone accepts whoever is like the topmost in that category of devotional service. So like in the case of the wives of the Brahmanas eventually accept that, and actually they didn't submit it to their wives because they figured out that their wives are senior to them. So similarly with the gopis and their husbands, that even on one hand they were a different set of gopis that go out, on the other hand some of the gopis' husbands knew of this relationship, but because it's all pure devotional service and it's being performed on a transcendental platform, then the husbands of the gopis fully surrender and accept that because they know that it's nothing mundane, it's nothing like what we would calculate, well, my wife is going out with someone else. So they understand it's pure devotional service. And so therefore, they also became like servants of their wives. Just like what Srila Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji had in his pastimes with that one couple who wanted to come and accept him as disciples. There's a pastime there where he told the husband, well, now instead of your wife cooking and you enjoy, I want you to cook and serve her in that way. So he wasn't able to accept that and he went away. So it was like on that level that some of these, the husbands of the gopis are also on to understand this level of devotional service. Okay.
Thanks. Ramiya Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you could help us understand how to imbibe this mood of service and separation as the gopis feel from Krishna, and if that is something you don't feel comfortable in explaining, then how we feel service and separation from Srila Prabhupada.
Thanks for putting that. well, service and separation from Srila Prabhupada, we can apply that same attitude of gratitude, what he's done for us. You know, what he's done for the whole world, what he's doing for the whole world. And therefore, by that remembrance and cultivating that remembrance and gratitude, as Krishna says, that was another point, that who doesn't feel grateful when somebody does something from you? Any well-bred person, that term is used in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, any well-bred person feels gratitude when somebody does some service for you. And Krishna, who is the epitome of all well-bred people, of course he feels gratitude when the living entity renders some service. So, similarly in our case, when Srila Prabhupada has done so much for us, he's changed the whole course of our karmic, you know, path to hell. He's changed that. So by that gratitude, one continues on serving him in so many ways. So I think we have to cultivate that attitude of gratitude for Srila Prabhupada, and that will help us. You have other? Manan Mohan, do you have something? Or something probably different, most likely? Or
It was from earlier part of the discussion. I was thinking, I've noticed that this chapter in the Krishna book, the message actually that Uddhava is bringing to the gopis is this message specifically dealing with separation or non-separation, or Vrindavan.
Yeah.
And then I thought of Srila Prabhupada when he was in New York. He says, well, Prabhupada, you're in New York. He says, I'm not in New York. He says, I'm in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada said he was always in Vrindavan. Wherever he was still in Vrindavan. So my mind works, sometimes I think there's in a joke that the empiricist says, seeing's believing, and the bhakta, he says, there's more to it than meets the eye. You know, so I got that one little part right here from the Krishna book, where Uddhava did not deliver to the gopis the written message brought from Krishna, but he personally read it to them. The message was very gravely written, so that not only the gopis, but all empiric philosophers might understand how pure love of God is intrinsically integrated with all the different energies of the Supreme Lord. So that particular sentence somehow or other stuck with me as quite relevant, that where he says, pure love of God is intrinsically integrated. So how is it that Prabhupada was still in Vrindavan when he was in New York? How is it that this pure love of God is intrinsically integrated into everything? So that was more or less the message that he was bringing to the gopis, that were not separated. Of course, the gopis, they had something to say about this, and they also said the same thing again in Kurukshetra, that Krishna, he always likes to speak philosophy. I don't know why he does that. I guess he can't help himself. So,
just a thing to add, which we're going to come to in the next chapters or two, is that when Uddhava does speak the message to the gopis, he doesn't speak it just once. And Krishna told him that, and this was mentioned the other day, that he doesn't just speak it once. Krishna says, you have to tell him over and over again, because each time you tell him, it'll go a little deeper. The meaning will go a little deeper. What it really means will go a little deeper. So he spoke that message three times, and each time the gopis understood it in a little more profound way. So that's our position too, that we hearing over and over and over again, gradually it will go a little deeper. There's still more. Janmashtami Prabhu, and then Mahamaya.
Based upon the gopis that didn't go out with Krishna and the ones that stayed home, there were different set. So it's a different set of gopis that experienced separation, and as opposed to those group of gopis that are cavorting with Krishna.
The acharyas explain that the ones that couldn't go out still had some contamination, some subtle, subtle contamination that they had to burn off. And by not being able to go out, but by meditating so intensely on Krishna, that they burned off any last traces of so-called contamination they had. It was a different group of gopis.
But
a different category? Is that what you're...
No, what I was inquiring about, you were saying that... Well, my initial question, how is it that Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan?
Okay.
And then I said, well, how is it that they experience separation, if Krishna hasn't left? And Ardhayana quoted Nagaraj that apakrat, literally. That's where they're still together, right? That's apakrat.
That the pastimes aren't manifested in front of our eyes. Right. Yes, they're going on.
So then the gopis that experience the separation, my question is, are they a different set of gopis?
One thing is, here's a lesson. When you're asking questions of someone, you have to ask the question that the person's capable of answering. So that's one thing that's very important to understand, okay? And all I can answer is, I have no clue. But aside from that, I was going to say, because our feeling of separation, our connotation of separation means misery, right? They're feeling miserable. They're miserably crying because they're separated from Krishna. But that's from my understanding, that's a mundane conception of what separation means. Their feelings of separation are intensely, they're with Krishna all the time, but they're just feeling a different end of the spectrum of that emotion. So just like somewhere, Srimati Radharani was saying, there's a some little incident of how when Krishna's with her, there's one Krishna. When she's not seeing Krishna with her, she's seeing thousands of Krishnas everywhere. She's seeing him in the tamal tree. She's seeing him here. She's embracing that. She's seeing him everywhere. So our, again, these are subject matters. So we're thinking that separation means that they're miserable, but they're not miserable. Anyway.
That's how they're
Save all your
though.
Questions, Jamasami, for someone who can answer them.
No.
Or ask me other ones, like, what does he say in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Okay.
But it's purifying to have these discussions.
It's purifying for putting me on the fire. It's purifying for my... Yeah, it just goes to show how even sometimes you think you can even just repeat concepts that you don't deeply understand. You can't even repeat them properly. So sorry. And on that transcendental... Oh, no, Mahamaya. I can't forget Mahamaya. I'll never hear the end of it. Oh, I mean, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mahamaya.
Okay, here's the...
Hare Krishna.
Left wing or something view. But we know that the gopis are the greatest devotees. And then there's the story of the Brahmin's wives that Dharmaraj was mentioning. And we know that in the spiritual world, we're feminine in relation to Krishna. And yet, why is it that our material experience...
Wait a minute, I can't do two things at once.
Yeah. So our material experience is that there's constantly tension between men and women, and the overall experience having a woman's body is that I experience that the men, in every respect, think that they're superior. And, you know, yet... Like you're saying, we're all feminine, so, and the women are the greatest devotees. So how are we to explain that?
We're going to let Hari Parayana Prabhu explain that, because okay. He's the greatest devotee. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, give him the mic. Thanks for coming to class today, Prabhu.
You're picking on me.
Yes, I am. It's true.
Men and women. So there are two aspects to it. One is the biology of man, the man's body and the woman's body, they're different. So we understand that everybody's equal on the spiritual platform, but we understand that bodies are different. And certain bodies have certain functions and other bodies have other functions. We can observe that just from the biology, understanding the differences. So is one superior to other? It is just that one body is suited for one type of work, another body is suited for another type of work. If all work that these bodies are doing is offered to Krishna, then because the work is spiritual, then the bodies can also be considered equal. From that logic, Srila Prabhupada explains that the men and women, they are all brothers and sisters in the same movement, they are all equal. They are equal as long as they are serving in Krishna's movement. So now the question about, well, the point that all men think that they are all superior to women, I take exception to that. I don't agree with that. Maybe that's Mataji's experience, but I would like to rephrase that by saying all male devotees should see all female devotees as being on the spiritual platform, or try, and all female devotees should see all male devotees as being on the spiritual platform, or try to do so. And so I don't think that this kind of a question really deserves much discussion in a Bhagavatam class.
Thanks. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada. Thanks for your attention. Please forgive me for my inadequacies. Hare Krishna. Glories to Prabhupada. Keep coming to class. I'm sure you'll